Hey there, and welcome to the Innovative Mindset Podcast. I'm your host, Isolde Trachtenberg. Last Creativity Tuesday, we discussed what it's like to lead a creative group, and I spent some time talking about two different kinds of groups. One is a professional creative group all together, the Philosopher's Tones, the group that I lead and manage. We sing carols from all over the world. We travel to do it. We get booked at places like the National Tree Lighting and corporate events and private parties that will have senators and members of Congress, or other members of Congress, I should say, as well as, you know, the Secretary of State or Defense or something like that. So what I was talking about was how to lead a group of people who are working in that, at that level. I also talked about running and managing a writing group of people who are not quite as far advanced. They are still developing their skills, as we all are. I think we keep developing our skills forever and ever, amen, when it comes to creativity. But today I want to talk about something a little different. I mentioned that at the end of the last episode that I would discuss and explore what it's like to lead and manage a group of creatives in a more business-oriented setting. And here's the thing about that. It's not too different from managing a group of creatives like singing, like the Philosopher's Tones. You still need to do the things that I talked about last time. You need to create a culture that supports creativity and innovation. And one of the ways you do that as a leader is by providing the resources your people need in order to feel confident in creating. You need to set up a culture that supports creativity. And by that, I mean you need to have communication processes set up. Everything from a suggestion box to going out together for a potluck picnic lunch or something like that, where you ask your people questions. You ask them to imagine what ways they might innovate what they do, because let's face it, nobody knows better their jobs than they do, right? So ask them to think about ways to innovate and see if they can be effective, if they can be part of the way you do things moving forward, if they are efficient and effective and will be an overall improvement to the way you do things. There are many, many benefits to that. Not the least of which, your people will feel like they're being listened to, like they're being valued and valuable. And also, because they know their job so well, you will gain so much by listening to them when they talk about how to improve or make more efficient or innovate those particular positions. No one knows their job better than they do, so let them be the innovators. The other part of this is that notion of, providing support. In other words, as a leader, you're not there to go, you will do this. Instead, you will give them the long and short of their projects, for example. But at the same time, your role then becomes to be as a guide and as a support to them achieving what they have set out to achieve. You need to provide processes. Like I mentioned last week, I provide all of the resources to my people to make sure that they have everything they need and to make sure that it's frictionless, as frictionless as possible, for them to have all of the resources, all of the processes, all of the documents and documentation in place for whatever it is they're trying to do, whatever it is they're trying to achieve, so that I'm not worried about it and they get the opportunity to really focus in on how they can improve what they're doing. And if I can provide any sort of an opportunity for them to be curious about how to improve, how to maintain that sense of curiosity about how to innovate, about how to get more creative with what they're doing so that it will be better for all concerned, so much the better. So if you're leading a group of creatives in a business setting, that's a way to do it. Give them latitude, give them the freedom to explore in what ways they can imagine improving and innovating. But at the same time, you also want to provide that structure, right? So it's not just a free form, woohoo, go and create. There's always a vision and a mission. It's funny, Tom Peters, the great leadership guru, said to me he didn't understand what I meant when I said vision in a tweet answer the other day. And I thought about it and I thought, well, it's about integrity to me. It's about doing what you said you were going to do and keeping your word and being above board in all of your actions. And also, you know, to me, a vision has to have as part of it, part of its components, I guess, I need to see that vision is guided by a sense of compassion. If there's no compassion as part of what you imagine your long-term processes and goals to be, then they're going to eventually get to a place where things don't work. Things won't work because if there's no compassion, eventually, I think selfishness wins out. If you keep compassion, what benefit am I actually bringing? How does it provide? And, you know, providing benefits and providing value seem like they're such business buzzwords now, but I really feel like it's, if you do it from that empathetic place, from that curious place about how you might improve things for not just the people, but the earth, the environment, your local environment, your ecosystem, and the entire biosphere, the animals on the planet, the people in the world. The more you keep that at the forefront, the more your decisions will be guided by that compassionate place. And that's something that I saw the other day too. I saw some coach or other, I don't even know who it was. Frankly, I don't know that I want to. But she said, you know, yes, of course, we realize we need to improve things, but first we focus on the people. And I thought to myself, you know, people can often help themselves. This is not to say they can always help themselves, but they can often help themselves. And to me, I believe in, I think it's, was, I don't remember if it was Gandhi or Schweitzer who said, you can take the measure of a man or a person by how they treat those who cannot help them, or by how they treat those who can do nothing for them. And to me, those, of course, are the animals and the environment. They can't actively do anything for us except for live and be free. But if we put the welfare of that which cannot do anything for us ahead of our own, then we have that North Star in a way that really is substantive and is really from, again, that compassionate place. So one of the things that I encourage you to do if you are a leader and you're leading creatives in a business setting is come up with that vision. What space can you occupy that will allow you to be curious, that will allow you to get into that compassionate space and see where it might be improved? Where might you do better? Where might you focus your eyes to make, focus your eyes on the prize, but it works because it rhymes. But also the prize is what? It's succeeding with integrity. It's becoming more successful through that empathy, through that compassion is what's going to provide you, again, with that North Star. So what are we talking about here? We're talking about providing resources that might be documentation and processes written out for them, taught to them in ways that they're ready to learn it. Remember, people learn very differently. So what I do when I provide things for the groups I lead is I will bring them the audio versions of things, the written down versions of things, and we will go over things together as a group. Why? Because again, people learn differently. They take information in differently. And sometimes they need that personal touch, if you will, the looking into my eyes as we go over things so that they learn and know what they need to learn and know in a way that feels positive and something that they can accomplish. That's a big part of it, right? Can they accomplish it? Do they feel like they can accomplish it? How do we bring that in? Okay. And the last thing is, do you have a culture that supports ideas, right? If we want people to come up with ideas, great ideas that stick, we need to have a culture in whatever group or company or organization that we're working in that supports the generation of cool ideas. What are the ways to do that? Well, there are lots and lots and lots and lots of different ways to do that. I do brainstorming sessions. I will get people, when I do my workshops on innovation with companies and organizations, I will take people from different parts of the organization. So it won't be all the admin people here and all the IT people there. You put an admin person with an IT person, with a management person, with, and you have to make sure managers show up to these things. You put a group of four or five together at a table from all different departments in an organization. And let's say there's a 50-person organization. So you have 10 tables with five people at each table, all from different departments. They might not even know each other. They may have never even met. Think about it. Working in the same company, you get sort of insular, if you will, from where you have been to where you might be going. You might not ever see the people who are in other parts and other divisions of the company. So if, let's say you have a 50-person company, when I do this workshop on innovation, I will put the five people together at a table, and they will have a huge white piece of paper and crayons, believe it or not, on the table. And what I do is a couple of different things. First of all, I ask them to draw. And the drawing exercise that we do, and it seems silly, but it works incredibly well to build a team very quickly, is one person will start with a squiggle. And just any kind of squiggle. It doesn't have to be anything particular, but a squiggle of some sort. The next person will follow that squiggle up by looking at the squiggle and seeing what they see the squiggle might be. So let's say somebody does a little circular and it looks like a rose to the next person, like an actual rosebud. So they'll take that rosebud and what they imagine to be a rosebud, and they'll draw stem and leaves. And then somebody else will say, oh, that looks like a rose. And they'll draw a little girl holding that rose. So they'll add to the picture. And then somebody else will go, oh, that little girl is holding a rose. I'm going to draw the person she's giving that rose to. And then from there, somebody else might say, oh, that to me looks like they are at a Valentine's Day dance. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to draw people around them dancing. And then somebody else might come up with another thing. And they will keep creating together and brainstorming together about what this might be. And it's not just together. It's more that they are sort of flowing into each other's ideas. And you see how those ideas can be building one on top of the other. And once they do that, they start from a little squiggle all the way up to showing you a school dance where a little girl is giving a little boy a rose. How cool is that, right? So why does that work? It works because they build off each other's ideas. And it's a way to get them thinking without having to think that they have to be amazing artists. You don't have to be an amazing artist at all. In fact, it's better if you're not an amazing artist when you do this, because amazing artists will start getting too nitpicky about the details of what's being drawn. And what we want is we want it snap after snap after snap. We want it to go one to the other to the other. And that generation of ideas will help them do what they need to do very quickly. And once they've done that, whatever, wherever they've gone with it, they might have created a snail instead of a rose. I don't know. It depends on what the people saw, right? And your interests sort of guide what you see and how you approach what's being done. So when you're in that space, you go, okay, these are all the possibilities. Once you've done that, we take those big pieces of paper and we put them, tape them to the wall of wherever we are so that everyone can take a look if they'd like at the first break. And then we give out new pieces of paper, and this time we brainstorm ideas. If the company is trying to generate innovation and trying to come up with new processes and new ways of doing things so that they can be successful in that way, then by gum, we want people who are coming from different perspectives to see and think and imagine what those challenges might be and how they might solve those problems. Because remember, innovation takes you being creative, but it also takes you being aware of what the problems might be, right? So you want to be sure that you're looking at it from that kindness perspective, from that empathetic perspective, because when you do, when you put yourself in the shoes of the other people or of the people who are your clients, whose problems you're trying to solve, you see their problems better when you are ready to look for them. So that's what we're going to do. We're going to look at what are the possible problems. And you might want to take a little time and name the problems in your company. And then you're going to ask those people who are coming from disparate backgrounds, but all in your company or organization, to come up with what they think the solutions might be. Someone from an admin part of the company might have very, very different ideas than someone who is from the IT part of your company, for example. Give them the opportunity to work together and do the same kind of brainstorming. Write out, draw out what they think that the problems are, and then how they might solve those problems. Or if you want to give them a little bit more guidance, give them what the issue is. This is the problem we're trying to solve. I want you all working in crayons to try and come up with solutions. Innovative, cool solutions that might bring people from very different aspects of the company together to work together to innovate. When people are coming from their expertise, but working with other people who have different strengths, you're going to be amazed at the kinds of innovations they come up with, because again, they'll feel like they're valued, they'll feel valuable, and they'll feel like what they know can add to what's going on, and it can help solve those problems. The other part of this, of course, is that what happens when you are working with people who don't believe they're creative? And you know me, if you listen to the show at all, you know how much I believe that we are all creative in one way or another. And I always go back to, what did you used to do when you were a kid, right? Did you doodle? Did you make up stories? Did you build forts? Were you a pirate in your imagination? We all had imaginations in one way or another. We all came up with something. If you played with toys, those toys were almost always stories that you made up that those toys acted out for you, right? So we look at this from that perspective. We want to see what those possibilities are so that when we're making this happen, we're doing it from that place of, I know what let's do, or imagine if. And that turns on that innovation light like nobody's business. As soon as you go into that, I know what let's do, or imagine if we did this, that flips the innovation switch. Immediately it gets them going. But how do you do it when people are convinced that they're not creative? Well, you can do creative activities with them. You can doodle, you can draw, you can start a company choir. I'm happy to come and teach your people how to sing. We can do one of my work in harmony workshops and they'll love it. But there are other parts to this that I want to ask you to think about. And that is, sometimes people's creativity has been hidden for a long time. They haven't thought about it as something that they can even do. So it becomes up to you to figure out how to awaken that. And again, brainstorming is one of those things that you can do. The imagine if game is another one of those things that you can do. It gives you the opportunity to tap into people's imagination. And there's nothing better for innovating than when you wake up your imagination. But let's say they're firmly convinced they can't. You can bring in an outside person like me to do like a work in harmony workshop where I will take every single person in that company and within 2 hours I'll get them singing together in 3-part harmony, making incredible music together. There are some benefits to this that are sort of hidden, if you will. One, you might discover you've got incredible singers in your midst. Two, people might discover that they have creativity. They will discover they have creativity that they had never tapped into before. And three, sometimes your shyest and most self-effacing, unassuming people might have incredible voices that they never knew were even there. And wow, is that an amazing thing when that happens. So there's a lot to be said for that notion of unlocking creativity. Give them the opportunity. You can even do what I do with my writing group and ask them to work together in a small workshop to write a story, to come up with what solutions might be, but also give them a prompt word and see what they come up with. Just brainstorming, just throwing around ideas, throw spaghetti at the wall and see what sticks. Because that's so important. That notion of, here, you can do this. It becomes incredible when they try. In his book, Daniel Coyle, in the book, The Culture Code, Daniel Coyle talks a lot about that notion of working together to brainstorm in a way that isn't overly discussed, right? One of the things he talks about is this wonderful story at the very, very beginning of the book when he gave everybody something like marshmallows and spaghetti and a piece of paper and asked them to build the tallest structure they could. And he had engineers and graduate business school students and five-year-olds all working together. The five-year-olds were working together like kindergartners. The business school students were working together. The engineers were working together. The admins were working together. And what he noticed was that the group that built the largest, tallest structure was not the engineers, like you might think. They were instead the kindergartners because they didn't spend a lot of time questioning each other's ideas. They just tried things. They tried things until they worked. And once they worked, they kept going. And it was not a verbal situation. People weren't talking and talking and talking and thinking and thinking and thinking. They were doing. And that's one of the things that I can recommend the most, is that if what you want is to get your people doing, innovating, get them acting, get them moving. The more they move, the more they're going to be able to get into this in a way that feels substantive, in a way that feels innovative and creative, and from that empathetic place. The more they get that opportunity, the more they're going to be able to do all of these sorts of things in a way that works, not just for you and the company, but for them. I love talking about this stuff because when we work from that place of supporting each other's creative and innovative ideas, we can make incredible things happen. When we collaborate with people who have different strengths than us, we can make incredible things happen. When we feel supported by the people who are our managers or who are above us, we can make incredible things happen. I know I keep saying that, but it's really true. And it's such a fascinating thing. I've had bosses in my life back when I used to work for other people who were fiercely jealous of the people who worked for them. And when you're fiercely jealous of the people who work for you, you cannot manage them well. So my last caution to you, if you are a leader of a group and you've already got all the stuff, you've gotten them going, they're being creative, you've gotten the people who think they're not creative to be creative, you've got the processes and the resources and the support systems all set up. The other thing, let go of your jealousy. And that's where mindfulness comes in. And I'm asking you to be super honest with yourself here, because we seldom want to admit that we're jealous, right? It's not something that's easy to go, oh, yes, I'm jealous. And that's how it is. I'm just jealous and I admit it and I'm okay with it and blah, blah, blah. You know what? That isn't true. Most of the time, we're terrified of admitting that we're jealous because it says something about us. But you know, when you see someone who's unleashed their creativity, their unique genius, their ingenuity, genius and ingenuity have the same root. When you see someone who's done that, it's not always easy to go, yay. I'm being very honest. There are times when it's hard to just be supportive. There are times when you go, doggone it, I wish I thought of that. And that's really tough. I get it and I understand. And as the leader of the group, you got to let go of it. And that's where mindfulness comes in, right? You have and a golden opportunity when you have people who work with you and for you who are innovative and excited and engaged and who are coming up with incredible ideas. Your job, as I've said, is to support them in doing that, but it's also to remember that the more you give them the freedom, the more you encourage them in that innovative thinking, the more you will all be enriched by it. And yeah, some of it is financial wealth, I'm sure, but some of it will be the knowledge, the satisfaction, the contentment that comes from knowing that you're working together to solve problems in unique and creative ways that will benefit not just you and the company, but hopefully the world at large. And if you're jealous, if you're envious of someone else's ability to do it, the more you can sort of breathe into that and relax around it, the more it will benefit you as a person and you as a leader. You can't do great work if you're spending your energy being jealous. You just can't. You will focus more on how to muck things up, honestly, than you will on how you can improve everything that's going on. I cannot recommend more highly to you that you, if you feel that, and you might not, you might be the kind of person who never gets jealous, who never gets envious, and good for you if that's the case. But if you feel it, if you can look down deep inside and go, yeah, sometimes I am envious of those people who have these amazing ideas, begin a meditation practice. That is my advice. Begin a meditation practice. I know it sounds bizarre, but it works like you wouldn't believe. When you have a meditation practice, you are in a position to accept what is. And that's it. Ultimately, that's what meditation allows you to do. It allows you to be where you are and accept what is. And if someone else comes up with an incredible and innovative idea, and you accept it and go, yes, this is it, then you can start where you are and all move forward together. And that becomes a celebration. And I cannot stress this enough. The more you can celebrate everybody else's wins, the more you win. I know it can be and again, maybe I'm talking just to myself here because I've been jealous when other people have these amazing ideas and I've gone, oh, why didn't I think of that? Because I didn't, but they did. And bully for them, right? That's awesome. Because there's no shortage of ideas, right? Please remember that. There is no shortage of ideas. Anything you can imagine, you can eventually do. It may be tough for the next 100 years, right? If you're trying to imagine personal flying machines or whatever. But what if you did? What if you decided that that was your great goal? You may not be the person to come up with the mechanism that will allow personal flight, but you can build the team that might be able to do it. So if you're the idea person and you have this idea that you want to do personal flight structures, I have no idea how they'd look. I'm not an engineer. But if that's the thing that you decided you wanted to do, then maybe your strength is in assembling the right team. Or maybe your strength is in the design. But you'll have to have the people who can actually implement, the mechanical engineers, the builders, the people who can do the construction. You'll need them too. And the more you celebrate what their magic is, what they can do, the more you will be able to all succeed together. And again, if you keep compassion and empathy at the forefront of everything you do, then anything you do will be of benefit to those around you. It could be other people, it could be animals, it could be the environment. However you structure and focus your compassion and your empathy, that is where those benefits will be wrought. I hope you've enjoyed today's episode of the Innovative Mindset Podcast. It's been a real pleasure to explore this with you today. And I would love to hear from you about what you think will lead to an innovative culture in any sort of group. If you're in a creative group, if you're in a group of engineers, what will lead to that notion of creative thinking? What do you think? Also, if you've listened this far, I would love to do something creative with you. I sometime very soon, and I'm going to let you know when, I'm not exactly sure, it'll be very soon, we'll be doing a series of episodes where I'm going to write stories from prompt words, and I am going to ask you to participate if you're interested. I'm going to talk about this at the beginning of the next few episodes just so that we can get ready. And it's going to be, basically, I'm going to ask you to write a story that I come up with the first paragraph, and I'm going to ask somebody else to come up with the next paragraph, and then the next paragraph, and the next paragraph, and see if we can't do this kind of serial paragraph thing where we come up with some story from a prompt word, a random prompt word that I choose. It's going to happen soon. I just have not figured out the dates yet, but if you want to participate in that, I'd love it if you'd let me know. It would be great to hear from you on whether or not you would like to participate in that and see how that might work, and we can make it work together. It would be really, really fun and really cool for me to see how we would do that together. And as always, this episode is brought to you by various things. Brain FM is my favorite app. I use it daily to meditate, to recharge, to chill out, to go to sleep, to get into my creative flow every day. If you would like to try it, head over to brain.fm/innovativemindset and you can get 20% off the app. Because I'm an affiliate, of course, I will get a little bit of a chunk of change if you decide to try it and use my link. I wanted to let you know that just so you do. This episode is also brought to you by Gloria Chow's PR Starter Pack. She's doing some masterclasses on how to get earned media coverage where you're not buying ads, but instead you're either publishing stories or somebody else is publishing stories on you in major media outlets. She's amazing. That link is also in the show notes. And I don't know if I'm going to put, maybe because I've mentioned Daniel Coyle's Culture Code, I will put a link to the show notes for that. And that link is an Amazon link, and I'm an Amazon affiliate. So if you go through my link to buy that book, and I highly recommend The Culture Code, it's an incredible book. Maybe I'll be doing a review of it sometime soon. If you do that, then I might get a little chunk of change for that too. Alrighty, I hope that you've enjoyed today's episode. This is Isolde Trachtenberg for the Innovative Mindset Podcast, reminding you that in order to innovate, you have to be bold, be creative, and most of all, be kind.
Thanks so much for joining me today. I really appreciate you being here. Please subscribe to the podcast if you're new. And if you like what you're hearing, please review it and rate it and let other people know. And if you'd like to be a sponsor of the show, I'd love to meet you on patreon.com/innovativemindset. I also have lots of exclusive goodies to share just with the show's supporters there. Today's episode was produced by Isolde Trachtenberg and is copyright 2021. As always, please remember this is for educational and entertainment purposes only. Past performance does not guarantee future results, although we can always hope. Until next time, keep living in your innovative mindset.